We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Packaday Podcast. The Thursday edition of the Packaday Podcast is here. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. You can find me on Twitter /X at Jason Perrone. With me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, happy Thursday.
Hey, happy 1 week away from the draft.
Which means we got to do a last data dump of all of the information that has been floating around. And there's a lot that has already been said about a lot of these prospects. We are focusing today on the defensive side of the ball. You've got a bunch of scouting notes, and I thought we would start with the corner position.
Okay. It's a good group, pretty deep group of cornerbacks from what the three scouts that I talked to, they all said that it's one of the deeper positions in the draft, probably that along with the offensive line and wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I guess you could almost call it defensive back because that's, you know, the Packers, we know about the safety position. They brought in Xavier McKinney. There are questions at corner, but the reason I wanted to start here is because, as is the case every year, you get a couple names that get more widely circulated in association with the Packers than anybody else. And this is unofficial. I'm talking about mock drafts, people talking about it, fan conversations, all that other kind of stuff. Now, you, fortunately for us, at least for you and I here, still have some ears to the ground in the league with scouts that are actually looking at these players from the perspective of somebody who's going to actually make the choice and make the decision to choose these athletes. So the lowest hanging of fruit here, if we're looking at the cornerback / safety position, really more corner, is Cooper DeJean, because he's been talked about a ton, a lot of varying opinions on him. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? Does he fit the Packers metrics? Does he not? Do you break the mold and do you draft him? Do you move up to draft him and make sure that you get him because you need that versatility? Does drafting him give you flexibility at corner? All those other things I've heard all those things discussed. So let's start with Cooper DeJean and your scout's take here, and then what's your take on him as well, since he's one of the hottest names.
He's a hot name, but he's not the best corner in the draft. He's not even, I think we ranked him, was it fourth or fifth?
Yes, not first. Yeah. Definitely not in the top.
No. He's nowhere near the top. He's a good player. I mean, all three scouts agreed he's good, but he is getting overhyped. For whatever reason. But he's a good solid player. I would not move up for him. If he's there at 25, and see, depending on who else is there, I might take him. Maybe. Might be a good pick.
Yeah, real quick, Mark. I mean, to your point, 6'2", 203, that doesn't seem like the measurables that Brian Gutekunst typically looks for in his first rounders.
Yeah, I mean, he that's why people want to make him a safety, because he's built more like a safety. And he doesn't have, I think he has like 4 or 5 speed.
Right, 4 or 5 is what he tested.
But the one scout told me, no, just leave him. He's a corner. Don't move a guy just for the sake of moving a guy. He thinks he'd be an okay corner. I just think there's better corners in this draft.
Oh, there definitely are. Yes.
You know, I mean, and now again, here's something that I think about. He played at Iowa last year. He got hurt middle of the season, I guess it was, or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Iowa's defense was just as good without him as it was with him. So it wasn't like he, you know what I'm saying? Like, he went down and they didn't miss a beat. It's not like all of a sudden Iowa start giving up 30 points a game. And then you say, oh man, he was the glue to that defense. He kept everything together. He was the guy. Well, no, they put somebody else in and they did just as well. Mm-hmm. So that, sometimes it's a system, you know. I don't know. If the Packers took him at 25, I wouldn't be like yelling and screaming, oh my God, I can't believe they took this guy. If they pass on him, I won't be upset either. Put it that way.
Sure.
My gut is he'll go somewhere around here. He'll go somewhere between 20 and whatever, 26, 27 probably. I don't think he cracks the top 20. He may. But the guys that I talk to don't think he's first round. He's definitely a first rounder. But like I said, we have three or four corners that they think are better.
Sure. That's the other thing too, is when we had the debate and about like in the past seasons about wide receiver, and everybody was like, oh, the Packers should look at drafting a wide receiver first, second round, third round or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, and I think they had a different need last year. But for example, like right now, when you're looking at a position group, you have to, if you're going to take somebody, you have to already think that they're going to be better than who's on the depth chart right now. And so these unproven rookies, I understand, they haven't played a snap in the NFL and there's projections and all that kind of stuff, but you have to believe that player really fits with what it is that you're doing. And unless we have really intimate knowledge of the Jeff Hafley defense and what that's going to, you know, what that's going to look like, then it's hard to know exactly what the Packers might be thinking about some of these prospects. Now, here's another one on the cornerback name chart. And it doesn't look like they're ranked as highly unless these are not in any particular order here, Mark. But I know that we have made the comment several times before about it does matter what the level of competition that these kids have played in college and perhaps the program that they played at. So here's another one. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. And I'm looking at some of the scout notes here, and if I can just, you know, steal a little bit of thunder before I turn it over to you, because I know these were your notes. But the scout's take is, I happen to agree with this here too. He's got a great nickname, so he's going to get drafted higher than he should. That is not false. I really do think that stuff like that is very true. But here's another name, very popular. Packers potentially could be interested here, but it doesn't look like, or correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if they were, if he was as high on their list either.
Well, they brought Kool-Aid in for a visit. They didn't. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, every Packer fan, it seems, wants Cooper DeJean. The Packers haven't, as far as I know, they have not talked to him or visited with him.
I saw a report on Wednesday that the Packers will not use the top 30 for DeJean.
So there you go. That tells you a little something. Now, again, maybe although the Packers are a team through the years, they generally have taken Jair Alexander was one that jumps out. They did not visit with him and they wind up taking him, but they moved around to do that. Generally, even like low picks, I mean, a lot of times it's the low picks that they bring in because you want more information or even some undrafted guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I just find it interesting that they didn't bring in DeJean. Now, they did bring in Kool-Aid. The positive on him is he played, you know, he played a lot of football at Alabama. He was a starter from the day that he walked on the field. But again, there's guys that I like the other Alabama corner better, Arnold. Matter of fact, he got voted from the three guys that I talked to, he got voted number one, Terry and Arnold. I think he proved to be the, now he didn't, he came on a little bit later than Kool-Aid, but he surpassed him as Alabama's number one corner.
So I also have, I've heard Arnold's name, and that is, it's not uncommon because sometimes you get this laser lock on certain names and then you're not looking around at what else is out there. Now I know that doesn't apply to every team. And I think the Packers do a pretty good job of sticking with their board, and they've got the players that they like, and they may see it that way as well. I also think, and that's, and here we go. That was the first name, at least the first name listed on your on yes. your list here. And again, 6 foot, 189. Now this is listed at corner, and the only reason I mention these measurables is because I know that the Packers, I don't know if it's accurate for me to say more so than other teams, but I know that the Packers in particular have some size metrics that they really don't tend to deviate from too much when it comes to certain prospects and certain points of the draft. So again, here's another one. Arnold also ran a 4.5 40, but to me, I'm not as enamored with some, you know, I'm not an Al Davis thinker. I'm not as enamored with speed. It's important, obviously, right. But there's game speed and there's, you know, running in short speed at the combine. And how fast can you recover, and what are your mechanics to stick with receivers and run with receivers and those types of things there too. But again, another Alabama prospect, and the Packers aren't going to get all of these, you know, they're not going to get all these players, but if they want to, and we'll get a huge indication of how they see the cornerback room based on what they do. Obviously, if they take a corner in the first round, we know a lot about what they feel about, you know, their current cornerback room. I don't remember when it was. It was probably a couple months ago. I put out a tweet and about Eric Stokes and the fifth year option. And right. I didn't sound too optimistic that the Packers would pick it up. And I kind of got almost like a little bit fried for even asking the question, because everybody was like, well, they're not going to pick it up. It's like, well, they picked up Darnell Savage's option. Now, I know Darnell Savage wasn't as injured or hurt or as unavailable as Stokes has been for these last couple of years. But that's why all these questions about the cornerback room, and why we're talking about some of these prospects here. I know we've talked a little bit about the corner room, but as far as the current state of it right now, Mark, where are you at with it? Stokes, Jair, Keyshawn, everybody else?
Well, Valentine, don't forget
him. Yeah, Valentine, the law firm.
Valentine, he had a hell of a year for a seventh-round rookie pick last year. Mm-hmm. But again, we'll see if that continues. Stokes is the key, and they know much more about Stokes' health and future than we do, right?
I mean, yep.
All we know is that he's been hurt, and it's a shame because he had a really good rookie year, and then he started a little slow, then he got hurt. He missed most of the second year. He missed almost all last year. So, yeah, that's a big, big question mark. In my opinion, the Packers are going to draft a corner. One of their top five picks, the first 2 seconds, two-thirds. I'll be stunned if one of those five picks isn't a corner.
Yeah, same.
I'm not saying it's going to be the first. I'm not saying it's going to be at 25. It might be at 41 or 50 something, or even they might even wait to the third round. And like I said, there are. It's a deep corner draft. You could still get a pretty good corner, probably. Not probably. You can still get a good corner in the second round, and maybe another going in the third round. A guy that I like a lot, and my scouts, he didn't make the top five, but they both, all three said that they kind of liked him as a solid second-round pick, is Max Melton mm-hmm. from Rutgers, the brother of Packer wide receiver Bo Melton.
Yep.
So we'll have a little Melton family reunion there.
Yep.
Now, he can run. He has decent size. He's 5'11", about 188, but he ran a 4.39. So he can run, just like his brother. He's kind of built like him. He can run. I wouldn't mind that at all if the Packers land him late second round, or that wouldn't bother me.
Sure.
Another guy that my one scout loved him is the kid from Missouri, Ennis Rackestraw.
Mm-hmm.
Rackestraw.
Yep.
He's 5'11", 183, 4.31. Again, good speed. The problem with him, the one knock on him wasn't real productive. He could run. He could cover. Didn't make a lot of plays. Now, maybe, again, I didn't watch a lot of Missouri football. Maybe he didn't get a chance. Maybe they didn't throw at him mm-hmm. too often.
Mm-hmm.
There's that possibility. But he's a guy you could probably get in the second. He may go late first, but probably more of a second-round pick. So, I mean, yeah, I think the Packers are going to take a cornerback. I just think they value that position. I think they've taken one almost. Again, Valentine was late pick last year. But since Goody's been there, they've taken one almost every year, right?
That's a position. Honestly, that's a position like offensive line where it's like, why wouldn't you? You need depth, and you need to try to find players that might be able to round out the bottom of your depth chart. Or if it's a higher pick, obviously they're going to play more and contribute right away. And don't forget, as always, ad nauseum, the special teams factor too.
Sure. Oh, right. Absolutely. Most you're a backup corner, you better be doing something on special teams, right?
Yeah, he's got, I mean, Rakestraw's got great 4.3 140s, great speed. If you're able to get him, he's a little, I won't say small. I mean, 5'11 is not like short by any means. And players like that too. I mean, Jair Alexander's not super tall, but he can get tall, high and do really, really well. And obviously has played at a very high level. So the Packers are not afraid of those players if they prove that they can, you know, they can do those things on the field. And I agree with you too. Getting back to the whole visit thing, it seems like the Packers use those visits a lot for the bottom, you know, the bottom of the draft and the undrafted, so they know exactly which undrafted free agents they want to get after. Because after the draft ends, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it used to almost be this slow roll where it was like, oh, a day and a half later, and they're still, you know, figuring out who they're going to sign. Now it is fast and furious.
It actually starts before the draft's over.
Uh huh.
There's guys getting calls in the seventh round saying, listen, if you don't go in the next 10 picks, we want you.
Yes.
Know? And then they wait and see. And then, you know, sometimes the guy, they do. And then, you know, I've had agents tell me this a lot, that when it gets that late in the draft, you rather not get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you get to pick where you go, you know, and you can look over the roster and say, hey, this team, if you're a corner, since we're talking corners, you're a corner. You say, hey, you know, this team only has a couple veteran, you know, I can make this team better. I have a better chance of making this team than that team. Or, you know, maybe you want to live in a certain area, whatever. You get to pick instead of them picking you. And let's be honest, a seventh round pick isn't guaranteed to make the team.
Correct.
So an undrafted free agent has probably
just as good a shot.
Yeah. If you're a high priority undrafted free agent, you have just as good a shot at making the team as a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I mean,
and the Packers, as a great example, they keep, I think, don't they have a streak of whatever many years in a row now where they keep at least one undrafted free agent?
Yeah, I thought there was one year where it broke, but I mean, for the last 15 years at least, it seems like if not every season they do keep one, because they do a good job of vetting out those players and adding, you know, and the other nice thing too is the reason it's become more important. I'm not sharing anything anybody doesn't already know, but with the game day call up and the practice squad rules now, this becomes even more important.
Oh yeah, because if you're on the practice squad, that doesn't mean that used to be if you're on the practice squad, you're on the practice squad, and that's what you were. Unless somebody got hurt badly, you were going to stay on the practice squad. Now they bring guys back. The guys go up and down, up and back and forth every week.
I mean, that happened with Patrick Taylor to the point where they had to sign him because he'd been called up so many times. Right. And but, you know, again, the whole trust the process thing I've been saying every single week, I feel like, because the Packers do a good job of making sure that if guys have to step in, I mean, in some position groups, it does end up biting them because there's only so much you can do to address a position. And then they have somebody playing who's obviously not as good. If you're not a starter, then you're a backup. You're a backup for a reason. But I think the Packers have done a good job of keeping the cupboard at least somewhat stocked. And I guess unless there was anyone else on corner, because I was going to move over to linebacker, but if you have anybody else we want to highlight.
The other guy is the kid from Clemson.
Clemson, Nate Wiggins. Yeah.
He's a little thin. That's the knock on him. He's 6'1", only 173.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thin for NFL standards, but he's a very good player. He might, you know, again, I would say Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
Toledo.
Smaller school, but very, very productive player. I know teams that really like him. I think Wiggins, Mitchell, and Arnold won't be there 25. If the Packers really like one of them, that's a guy that they would have to move up and get, I think.
That would
but again,
really...
I don't think they're going to, I don't think Packers go corner for, I think they wait and get a guy in the second round. I really do. I don't think that's where they're going to go first round.
Yeah. There are a lot of corners in this draft.
Yes.
It's a corner heavy draft. So when that happens, then it just seems like the value, you can get value in that second round. Like, you know, when they've done that with other position groups too, where it's, you know, unless there's some kind of transcendent talent that you absolutely have to have, but the Packers just, they're certain position. I think they do a good job of limiting those early picks to those premium positions. Edge, corner is one of them. So they could certainly do that this year. And now it would be really interesting. Wouldn't be the first time that we've been surprised by a trade up and draft selection by the Packers, ahem, 2020, right? So if they were to do that for a corner, then okay, that I guess you have to trust that that's really who they wanted.
Again, we're not privy to the, if they think Arnold, let's just pick Arnold as an example. If that's the guy that they think he's the best, he's not only the best, he's so much the best that they feel they have to get him. And then they have to move up to say 15 or 14 or so to get him. But they really want they go get him. And like you said, as you always say, trust the process. If the scouts and Goody and everybody loves that guy that much, well, let's make it an Alabama offseason. Mm-hmm. They already signed. There are two big free agents who were both from Alabama, so roll tide.
You could do a lot worse than putting some Tide players on your roster. I know how you and I both feel about the level of competition and how NFL ready that program typically is when those players come out. So they've done well there. And I was going to move over to linebacker because it's not that the Packers don't. I mean, they've got Quay Walker, and Quay Walker is a really intriguing guy this season because I'm really curious to see what he ends up getting to do and what they end up doing with him in the new defensive scheme here, because I think there have been a lot of opinions that he's been underutilized or not utilized correctly based on his skill set. And so he's going to obviously be a big, big piece of what the defense does in 2024. Now, next to him, as currently right now on paper, is Isaiah McDuffie. And there's a lot of varying opinions on whether he's good enough, not good enough, if he's better than everybody thinks here. And linebacker, now obviously the Packers used a first-round pick on a linebacker 2 years ago when they took Quay Walker with their first of two first-round picks. So it's not like they wouldn't do this again here and look to stack that that position now that they're running more of a base 4-3, although there's so much other packages that get put out there that, you know, I don't know how much base that they're actually going to play. Maybe they will. But this is another position group that needs some attention here. So as far as the top players here, and again, it has to kind of make sense with where the Packers are choosing. So I'll just take the first name on your list here, Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. It just seems like he's somebody the Packers are probably going to have to move up for if they want him based on where they're drafting right now. But why don't we start there? Texas A&M, well, obviously a really good program, and it's the first name on the list of your scouts.
Well, my guy loves him.
Yeah.
If you see the quote, he says he's a top five player, and not just top five defensive player. He called him a top five player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you know, I don't like to look at these mock drafts and stuff, but now you're bombarded with them. A lot of people, and some I trust, have the Packers getting him in the second round.
Wow, that would be phenomenal.
So, yeah, I mean, I know linebacker, like running back, has become a position that just gets downgraded. So if they were to get him, I would love him in the second round. I wouldn't mind him at 25, to be honest. I mean, I know people say they don't need, you know, a linebacker, but let's look at it from this standpoint. I think the defense, and we don't know yet because we've heard about it, we've read stories about it, we've heard him talk a little bit. But we really don't know what Halfley's going to play, what kind of style, and he hasn't been an NFL defense coordinator. But he did come from San Francisco, right? I mean, that's where his NFL experience. Well, the Niners value. I mean, they have their defense is kind of based off Greenlaw and Werner, right? I mean, they revolve around those two star linebackers, and I could see a Walker Cooper being like those two guys, right? Mm-hmm. Two very athletic guys that could go sideline to sideline and make plays. Like some people are saying Cooper isn't a good fit for the Packers because he's too much like Walker. Well, what's wrong with having two athletic linebackers?
No, yeah, I don't get that at all. I almost look at the Super Bowl year that the Bucks won, and you had Devin White, the way he played much better that season, and Lavonte David. Everybody would love to have something like that.
Yeah, you want? I mean. Yeah, what's wrong with having two guys that can go sideline as well? See, McDuffie to me is a, and again, he was taken where he was taken in the draft for a reason too. He's a good third guy. If he's your third guy, okay, you're pretty good then, because that means you have two good ones, and he can come. He's good against a run. So when you are in a fourth, when you are literally 4-3 and not 4-2-5, which is probably what they're going to be more so than not, because of the way offenses line up now. I don't mind McDuffie being the third guy out there and being a guy that, like, on short yardage or obvious run, you know, goal line, whatever. Because McDuffie has proven to be a pretty good run stuffer. I don't know if he can go and cover a back out of the backfield very well or you know, do a lot of the things that Walker and we'll see what Cooper did in college. Cooper had a really good senior year, or I guess junior year at Texas A&M. Led the SEC in tackles for loss with 17, had 8 sacks, as a linebacker. That's pretty good for a linebacker to come up with eight sacks in college. He plays all over the field. And his best game, you're talking about Alabama earlier, and I like this about it when I look at players, because let's be honest, you know, college, even the best college teams, they have a couple cupcakes on the schedule,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Everybody has a last place team in the conference. Everybody plays a bad non-conference team. And sometimes you could build up your stats against those teams, right? So when you look at the total, oh, he had eight sacks, but he got five of them against, you know, the worst team in the conference or some bad non-conference. Well, no. His best game of the season came against Alabama, where he had 11 tackles, three sacks, and a forced fumble. That was against Alabama. So that tells me when you play your best against the best, I personally like that.
Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. While it's not Packer season anymore, there's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, good big game performance. And even in like bowl games and college playoff games, those things matter. Big game performance. And don't think NFL teams don't look at stuff like that either. That's all very important. I mean, I'm looking at this list here, and it almost looks like the Packers have an opportunity here as well, because the majority of these players here, I think your scouts feel like a lot of these guys are 2, 3, 4 round, a second, third, fourth round. And so if you're not having to press and you can still get one of these really good players, you've got a national champion here, Junior Colson out of Michigan, who's got good size, and he's projected as a second rounder. Now here's one that I'm sure you're at least a little bit more familiar with, because you covered his dad for a long time, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Now he is projected more as like a third rounder. I wonder though if some name scouting goes on there and he gets drafted a little bit higher because of his pedigree.
Maybe, but the scouts, I used a quote from the scout, he's not his dad.
Right. No. Yeah. Yep.
In every way. And I don't mean that, you know, he's just not. His dad was big. His dad was 250 something and played downhill. You know, his dad was a classic 4-3 middle linebacker that, you know, just played. He didn't go back in coverage often. He was going forward. He was going after the quarterback. He was stuffing the run. He was very good at all that. Jeremiah Jr. is a lot smaller than his father. Mm-hmm. He's 6 foot, about 230 something, I think. 230, Lakeman. I don't have.
Yeah, 228.
Oh, 228. I'm sorry. So he's not even 230. So a lot. He's more of a, like, well, the one scout told me he fits a 3-4 a lot better than he does a 4-3, where you can put him inside in a 3-4, have him covered, and let him run around and make. He's very, very instinctive, pretty smart player. I mean, he's been around the game his whole life, so you would think he knows the game. But yeah, the worst thing for him would be getting drafted by the Eagles.
Because, that's a good point.
I'm serious. He doesn't want that. I know, and the Eagle fans want him. Oh, we got to bring in Trotz's kid, but. No, because he's not his dad, and people are going to expect him to be his dad, and he's a total opposite kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be good for him. It really wouldn't. I mean, it'd be a nice story, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he fits it wouldn't be good. Now, with him for the Packers, I don't think he's a good fit there either now, because they're playing a 4-3. And like I said, I think he's more of a 3-4 kind of guy. An interesting name at linebacker is Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State,
mm-hmm.
who's a very good player, but he's been hurt so much that you got to worry about that, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't want to draft. I mean, and listen, the Packers this past few months have made it a point that they're tired of guys being hurt, right? I mean, look who they've let go over the last, whatever many, they didn't re-sign him or cut him.
Yeah.
It's guys who have had injury history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Stokes, I think, we'll see what happens there, but you know, Savage, they didn't bother to bring him back. Why? You know, he's been hurt a lot.
Missed time, yeah.
Campbell, been hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Am I forgetting something? Aaron Jones.
David Bakhtiari, obviously, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, he's been hurt ridiculously. I mean, and it's a shame. Listen, football's a violent game, and guys get hurt, and it's a shame. But from a business standpoint, I think the Packers were getting a little, frustrated with spending money and taking up salary cap room on guys that weren't in uniform.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would take a – I mean, they might. I mean, again, that's where the doctors have to come in and check him out and tell you that, oh, yeah, he's okay now. But I don't see them taking a pain. I mean, I just think his injury history would scare the Packers off. Now, here's a kid from Kentucky that I believe they brought in, Wallace, the linebacker. Again, you can probably get him third, fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very, athletic. Can go sideline to sideline. That's what they need. I mean, if you're going to play this if we're going to call it a 4-2-5, you need your linebackers to be able to roam around and make plays.
Right. Yeah. You got to be able to move around. And Quay Walker, that's exactly what he does. And so whether you're going to compliment here, I was going to say with Isaiah McDuffie, you kind of almost described a downhill thumper.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You need that type of player in your defense as well. But I think you're absolutely right. If he's your third guy, it's kind of like the same thing at corner. If you've got your fourth corner is not out on the field playing more snaps than they should, and you've got the right guys playing outside and at nickel, then you're in great shape. If you have to start moving someone up the depth chart and they have to become a starter when they're really meant to be more of a backup, then those things kind of trickle down and the performance on the field tends to change, or it tends to drop off a little bit. So,
yeah, I mean, let's be honest. The game has changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first started covering football a long, long time ago, you needed a guy like Jeremiah Trotter was a star because he was a middle linebacker in a 4-3. Eagles played a true 4-3. It wasn't a 4-2-5. It was a 4-3. And, teams ran the ball a lot, especially in the NFC East back then. That's when you had the Giants and Cowboys and Washington. They all had big running backs, and you wanted a big run stopping linebacker out there to control that, to make it second and nine and third and eight and stuff. These days, yeah, you still want that on the team, and that, you want it just in case. But for the most part, teams throw the ball all over the field now, right?
Yeah.
Now the Packers have been hurt by the run. Don't get me wrong. We've seen teams run the ball, like San Francisco kill the Packers with it. But for the most part, you need those runaround linebackers more than you need the big thumper. I mean, especially, like I said, if they're playing a 4-2-5 more than a 4-3, there's a reason why you're in that defense.
I get so tired of the little, the little flood leak screen pass to the opposite side and just, running backs and fullbacks running for days because the Packers don't have somebody that can cover and get over there. And, there's only so much ground one person can cover. But I think if you at least respect it and say like, hey, you can't run that stupid leak or leak your tight end out the backside. Like those are things that happen on every NFL team. Now it happens against every defense because you know, the league is cyclical. They come up with offensive schemes to beat most defenses, but speed is something that can negate a lot of those things. And that's what the Packers needed. They need to get quicker, faster, more reactive, and swarm more to the football in that sense there. And so I was going to...
Because they've been getting killed on... How many times have... I'm not even talking about your Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jacksons, but average speed quarterbacks, it's 3rd and 12, and they get a good pass rush. You know, Rashawn Gary's in the backfield, but he gets away, and he runs for 15 yards and a first down.
Yeah, when Jared Goff is doing that against your defense, that's also
or not Tommy DeVito.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have another linebacker out there who's going to, you know, I let him gain 5 yards on 3rd and 12. Okay, that's fine. Now it's 4th and 7, but don't let him gain to 15 and get a first down.
Right. Right. Now keep it, you know, make it manageable. It's so frustrating to get in those 2nd and long, 3rd and long situations, and then you're just constantly letting them move the sticks, and then your defense is getting tired. It's a lot of what I think kind of ended their season against San Francisco. They had some trouble on 3rd down and in that game, and then that's when you've got to make your plays. If you get yourself in an advantageous position as a defense, you shouldn't be giving up a bunch of plays. I mean, I would sit there and watch games and annoy the hell out of everybody that was around me, because I'd be like, oh, here, it'd be 3rd and 17. The Packers would be on 3rd and 17 or something. I'd be like, here comes 3rd and disaster. And everybody I'm with is looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you being so negative? And sure enough, they'd give it up. They would, you know, they'd give that up. Now, obviously, different defense, different time. We can move on from that. I was going to stick at linebacker and just move over to edge, because edge is one thing I'm not hearing as much about, because as you know, the industrial draft complex, as I'll call it, likes to hone in on certain positions for certain teams. And edge is just not one that I've heard a ton of for Green Bay, but it's one where the Packers, it's a premium position. We know they've spent a lot of money on in free agency. They drafted Rashawn Gary with a very, very high first round pick there. Lucas Van Ness last year. So if we look at this group here, this year in looking at the list, you have some really intriguing names, and I kind of want to start with Latu out of UCLA, because I don't know if a lot of people know that he took some time away from the game. Well, he was injured, and he took some time away from the game, and you've got a note here. I don't know if a lot of people know this, where he actually stopped playing football for a while.
Yeah, 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's a scary thing. He's by far the most talented of the group of edge rushers. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He came back. I forget where, I should notice, I wrote it, but I don't remember now. Where did he start his career?
Washington,
right. And then he resurfaced at UCLA a couple of years later and was tremendous for UCLA. He really was. I mean, he had a great career there, 2 years, you know, he did well, but it was a neck injury. So that's a risky, risky pick. I think he would be top 10. If that never happened, he's a top 10 pick in this draft.
Right. Well, I think it's a medical thing. And when it's that kind when a player has to take a couple of years off and contemplates not playing anymore, I think some teams are probably a little leery of using a really, really high draft pick on him. If there's a chance that he could either get re-injured or may just decide, hey, I'm going to play like Chris Borland. I'm going to play a couple of years and then I'm done.
Exactly. And it wouldn't shock me if he gets wherever he goes, he signs his original contract and then, you know, makes good money and says, okay, I made it through this much. I got lucky. I'm not playing anymore. I mean, I don't wish that on him. I hope he has a great career. It just seems, you know, but when that's in your path, I mean, he's going to fall. He's going to go in the 20s when he talent wise, he's a top 10 pick because of the injury history. And like you said, the fact that he almost stopped playing, or he did stop playing. But I mean, I don't know what talked him back into playing again, but he did. He played well. He's got good size. And he could play. He could be a 4-3 end. He's big enough to do that. I don't see the Packers taking him. I just don't. I mean, a lot of people think the Packers could go edge early. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, they have Gary Van Ness, Preston Smith back for another year.
I don't think they'll shy away from the edge type, even though they're not playing that 3-4, traditional 3-4. Right. I don't think they'll shy away from it. We've seen Green Bay take players and kind of convert and use them a different way. I mean, Lucas Van Ness, I think, is an example there. Right. Rashawn Gary wasn't an edge at Michigan. So, there, you know, and if you've got somebody like, you know, the first name on your list here is obviously the most common name that's been thrown around too at edge is Chop Robinson out of Penn State.
Right.
He's got good size. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got good size, and he ran okay. He's 21. You have to look at the age for the Packers too. They don't typically, I know they took Devontae Wyatt, who is quote unquote older. I know they like players that have a little bit more more runway of on their career and wear on the tires and all that kind of stuff too. But if they think they can make this player work, because you can line them up at the second level. You can also put them on the line with their hand in the dirt. Just, you know, I say all the time, football players. It's not like you can just convert somebody and say, like, be a football player. Don't be a defensive end. Don't be an edge rusher. Just be a football player. And just saying the words doesn't mean that the player's going to be able to just go do that. But if it fits, and I trust the Packers to scout that out and make that choice and determine if they... Now, I think the way that this is set up here as far as Robinson goes, too, I think he's another one that falls into that, possibly that DeGene conversation, to where I think they're, you know, he's likely going to get drafted pretty high. I think the Packers, if they wanted him, I don't know that he'd still be sitting there at 25. I don't know what you're hearing.
Probably not. No, I don't think he will be. I think now Turner, who the guys I talk to don't like as much, but I didn't talk to all 32 teams. I only talked to three. They think he's a little overrated, but they also said there are other teams that really do like him. So mm-hmm. I think he's going to be gone, Dallas Turner from Alabama. I think Robinson from Penn State is going to be gone. Latu, I think he's going to go somewhere right around 20. You know, he's going to go in that area, but I just don't think Green Bay will roll the dice on him. The guy that's interesting to me is Jared Verse from Florida State.
He's got good size.
Yeah. If he's there, maybe. I just don't know if the Packers, they could do it. I mean, listen, we've seen Goody take guys. See, there are some teams that, if they take you in the first round, they expect you to play. They're paying you for first round money. They expect you to be out there playing. That's not the Packers' MO. I mean, they took Rashawn Gary at 12 and hardly played him as a rookie. He was their fourth guy.
Yeah, that was also the year they signed Preston and Za'Darius Smith.
And already had Kyle Fackrell off a double-digit year. So they don't even Lucas Van Ness played a little more at the end of last year, but he didn't play, you know, he didn't play like a lot of first round picks, you know, again, a high first round pick. You would think he would have played more. So they, you know, they don't insist on their first. Goody doesn't draft for today a lot of times.
Right.
You know? He looks ahead.
He's got his eyes very, very squarely on the future. 100%. Yeah, he's very forward looking.
His past draft is who he's counting on for this year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jordan Love sat for three. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the obvious one. But I mean, yeah, they don't. Now, sometimes it works out. Jaire Alexander. Well, Jaire Alexander didn't start right away. Didn't he? It took a couple games before he took over for somebody, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he started day one. I think he was like a backup.
And then right.
No, he didn't. Got hurt, or then he went in there and he played so well that they kept him in. But yeah, they don't. So, you know, listen, Preston Smith is getting up there, right? His future had a great career, but we don't know how much longer it's going to go. Could they take an edge early?
Yeah, but if they do, they could, because they like the body type and the athletic traits and the athletic skills. We'll call it the raw athletic score, although I hear the Packers don't necessarily use that particular metric. But right. I think it's the picture, the frame, the numbers, the metrics, the measurables. Verse is 6'4", 254. That's good size.
Yeah.
That might be what they're looking for. They might be looking for a specific body type there. And if it's a young player, and I know it's, you know, special teams are changing quite a bit because the rules have changed on the kickoff and all that kind of stuff. But again, it's another thing to keep in mind. If they're not going to play right away as much on defense, then they might also be used on special teams for whatever, you know, for whatever it is that's worth there. But it's a position group we had to mention, because I feel like that's the athletic profile for what the Packers like in terms of their defensive players, even if they're not going to necessarily play a pure edge,
right,
or defensive line. So, or defensive end, I should say. Was going to look at the defensive linemen too, because they've got, now the Packers are pretty stacked here on paper right now. Carl Brooks is up and coming. Colby Wooden, they added those last year. TJ Slayton's going into the last year of his deal. Kenny Clark's talking about an extension and getting some more years added to his current contract. We'll see if that ends up happening. This could be another area where we see the Packers doing something in the draft that'll tell us a lot about what's happening with the incumbents that are there. So in a 4-3, defensive tackle-wise here, where it used to be like, you know, you've got Kenny the nose tackle and you're finding ends to put around him, You need solid guys in the front that can occupy space and take up space and get a push up front, stop the run, and help create a pass rush, because you don't have necessarily edge rushers flying in off the sides anymore here. So this could be another area where the Packers look to add some talent early. They've gone defensive line early before. So you've got quite a few here. I mean, I see Byron Murphy out of Texas seems to be the most popular name. Maybe we start there with, because it looks like that's the first name on the list. But again, I don't know if that necessarily means all of your scouts liked him best.
Yeah. They're in order. They're in order.
Okay.
So yeah, he was voted the best. He's a good player. I mean, he's a very good player. Will the Packers, will he be there at 25? I strongly doubt it. You never know. But again, you can never have enough good big men up front, right? But I mean, I would think if they were playing tomorrow, you know, Clark and Wyatt would be your starters. TJ Slayton would get a lot of time, especially on run, you know, early on rundowns, goal line, short yard, you know, you want that big body out there. And then Carl Brooks had a hell of a rookie season. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to see some time. And you want to rotate under the, you want to keep those guys as fresh as possible. So you probably want to rotate four through the course of the game. Clark obviously would get the most reps because he's the best player. But then, you know, Wyatt, Slayton, Brooks, I think would all rotate around Clark a little bit. And Clark would get his breaks too, but so they have four pretty good ones.
Yeah.
I think they'll draft one somewhere just because, but I don't see them again, unless they really love, if they love Murphy or they love this job, they call him Johnny Newton from Illinois. If they love him and they fall to 25 and he's the top guy on their board, you got to go by, you know, you go by your board, I guess. But, and like you said, Slayton's in his last year of his deal, so he could be gone next year. We think they're going to re-sign Kenny Clark, but you never know how those contract talks will go. Maybe Kenny's going to want more than they're willing to give, or more years, or who knows.
Brown just got that huge deal with Carolina, so there goes the market getting set, reset. Right.
So, I mean, yeah, you don't, until a deal is done, you know, it's not, you know, you can't count on it. I mean, everyone thought Aaron Jones was going to get done, right? And it turned out it didn't work out, and he's a Viking now. So it gives them, put it this way, if they were to take a defensive tackle early, it gives them a little more leverage with Kenny Clark, obviously, right?
Yes, so, right.
I think they may get one. There's that guy Jenkins from Michigan. It's probably a second-round pick, Chris Jenkins.
Yeah.
Whose uncle was Cullen Jenkins, had a good career with the Packers back in the day. Again, with the five picks in the first three rounds, the Packers can do a lot of things. They can do more than most, you know, they can do more than most every other. I'm not sure if any other team has. Arizona might, right? Are they the only other team with five picks in the first three rounds?
I think you're right. Rounds? Yeah.
But they need 10 picks in the first three rounds. So
always.
Yeah. So there's nothing off the table. I don't think the only, as we said a couple weeks ago, I don't see them taking a quarterback early or even at all, but they might take one late because Goody said he wants to keep drafting quarterbacks. I don't see a tight end, A, because it's a bad year for tight ends, and B, they have three young ones that they seem to like, or two that they really, really like, and Ben Sims, they kind of like a little bit. They got him for free. So other than quarterback, tight end, anything else is on the table, really.
Yeah. Yeah, no, agreed. There's another one. There's another Texas lineman here, and remember, you know, they did make the playoffs. Yeah, Sweat. So you've got another.
That's a big boy.
Another big, yeah, 6'4", 366.
Yeah, that's a big boy. I think he's probably more your nose. He's probably more of a nose tackle in a 3-4.
I think the interesting thing is if I've actually heard the questions about whether or not some of these guys might be too big for the Packers. I don't personally myself think that there's really any such thing. But, you know, I guess it's possible. Anything is possible.
I guess, you know, I say that, you know, that he probably is. I think a 3-4 team will likely draft him and put him on the nose. But Gilbert Brown played the 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a damn good 4-3.
Yep.
With Reggie and Sean Jones and Santana Dotson and big old Gilbert in the middle there. Maybe, you know, Sweat could be that kind of guy. So, like I said, when it comes to this draft, and with the amount of picks, the Packers have the volume they have early and late. They have, you know, five in the first three rounds and 11 total. They can do a lot of things. Like I said, nothing's going to surprise me next week. Nothing at all. Unless they take a tight end or a quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think they will take a quarterback, just not in the first round.
Well, you know what I meant.
Early on. Right. I got you. Well, if they do want to do, just to round it off here, if the Packers do want to double up and they do want to stack at a certain position, they sign Xavier McKinney at safety.
Right.
And if they want to go and they want to add some more to the safety room and they want to really stack it up at that, you know, there's some pretty good options here on your list. And a lot of them are not, I mean, well, safety is not a highly valued position in the NFL. You don't see too many going in the first round to begin with. So here's another place that the Packers could opt to use if they really want to fortify that room early on with some of those early picks. You've got some pretty good options here in rounds 2 and 3, starting with out of USC, you've got Caleb Bullock, 6'2", 188.
He's a free safety. See, now, again, in this draft, there seems to be guys that are free safeties and guys that are strong safeties. There's only a couple, I think, that could do. And from, again, we don't know. We only know what we've heard in press conferences and what some writers have written about Halfley's defense. Is that, but his own words were, he likes his safeties to be able to be interchangeable. He likes them to be able to play free or strong and even nickel, which is why McKinney was like the perfect guy for that defense. And I'm glad they got him. There's only the guy that jumps out to me that can do that is probably Hicks from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or Washington State. He's 6'2", 211, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he can play both. Like Bullock is strictly free, especially at 188. You don't want him in the box mixing it up. And then Newbin from Minnesota, I see a lot of Packer people liking him, but he's a good player, but he's a boxer. He's a strong safety that he can't play free.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they would want him. And again, I don't know what they're looking for. Kinchins from Miami, I think, could do both, but he, going back to your thing with RAS, very poor. So I don't know if that takes him off the Packers board or not. And we'll see. If the Packers were to take him, then everybody that thinks the Packers go by that RAS wouldn't be right.
Right. I think they do, though. Especially if it's earlier than not, I think they do right. Look at those things and they know what it is that they're looking for and what they need. And in a box safety to me is that's kind of what Darnell Savage ended up being. And I think they have a chance to reset the room and redefine what it is that they ask their safeties to do and give their corners more flexibility or just give their defense something else that they can rely on, because you finally have safeties who are smart enough or capable of covering deep. Whereas not only did you not have that before, but you also had a defensive scheme where it was just keep everything in front of you. Anyway, the Packers this year, we're going to have to get used to seeing the Packers give up some big plays, but that doesn't mean they're going to lose a bunch of games.
No.
That just means they're playing a different style of defense and they're willing to gamble and risk it a little bit more. But wouldn't it also be nice to see the safeties picking off some balls and making some plays on the ball for once?
Yeah, I was going to say they may give up some big plays, but they're going to make some big plays too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. Savage had a chance for some big plays, and he made one. Hey, listen, he had to pick six against the Cowboys. That was a great play. You know, if that's my last memory of Darnell Savage as a Packer, that's a good one, right? I won't mention the next game.
Right, yeah. Very week to week, the NFL is, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, so they're looking, I think, again, we don't know until we see what they do and how they play, but from all indications are, yeah, they want their safeties to be playmakers. You know, they want Xavier McKinney. That's what they want. They went out and gave him a ton of money. Hopefully well worth it to do what he does. And now if you get another guy similar to him, that's great. Now you have two guys making plays on the ball, two guys out there covering and making, doing all kinds of things. That would be ideal. And I think, talking to the people that I talked to, I'll be honest, I didn't see a lot of these guys play a whole lot. I think Hicks is the guy that would fit the best.
So to wrap it all up, because we talked about almost every area of the defense here, went through a lot of names, and these are great notes. Nice work once again, obviously, on your scouts take. And if you've been following Mark's work over at Packer Report, you've seen some of this already. But out of all, and this might be hard to discern because you've got a lot of data here from your three teams, but which player overall do you think you heard the most positive things from, or do you feel like these guys are highest on? It could be any position. I mean, was there one player where you're like, man, this was the most gushed about player I heard this year?
Edgerrin Cooper. Okay. The linebacker from A&M. And,
okay.
And I'm shocked that, like, again, I'm going to just talk to the right three people or because he's not getting that love. Now, you know who loves him? Is Christian Watson's dad, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been following him. You know, he's on Twitter all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He loves him. And I, so finally, because I actually, you know, what do you call it now? X'd him back? I don't, because you don't tweet anymore, right?
Yeah. So whatever. Tweet. Yeah, you can still say tweet. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I responded to him and said, finally, someone else thinks of how good of this guy, and he liked, you know, whatever. But I mean, yeah, that's my guy. That's the guy that I really would love to see in green and gold next year. If they can get him in the second round, that's even better. I mean, that means they got two good, you know, they got somebody even better in the first round, and they got able to get him in the second. And again, they could, with the volume they have, they could do a thing where, all right, at 25, they take a corner if one of the corners they love is there. Even Cooper DeJean, if he happens to fall to 25 and they say, okay, 25 is a pretty good pick, they can move up. They can, because I know this is how I'll be. If Edgerrin Cooper doesn't go in the first round and I want him, I'm going to be up all night worrying about him going in one of those first picks ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Packers have the ammunition, and it wouldn't cost that much to go from like 41 to 33 or something, right?
34. Right. No. No.
To move up, and then you make sure you get them, right?
Right. No. So, and they've got that. I mean, that's the beautiful thing is, don't be surprised if this isn't a year where you see Green Bay jump back up on Thursday night and they make a second pick.
The first round. Yeah, they could do that too. If a team like Baltimore or Kansas City or San Francisco wants out of the first round to get more picks, I can see Green Bay using a 41 in the third or something and coming back up.
Once you get past 25, and that's where the Packers sit, once you get past 25, there's not a huge difference between picking somebody 26th and through 40. I mean, I know that there's 14 spots there. It matters money-wise. I understand all that kind of stuff there too. But as far as the gap in talent and the evaluations and all that, that's where you start to see teams that have really done their homework and can pluck a guy and say, like, we can wait, we can get our player. Or if they move up and they're like, listen, we would have really wanted to draft this guy at 40, but we've got an opportunity to move up and we're really, really worried about who's picking 27, 28. Not a problem. Do your thing.
Yep. And here's the thing too. The one big difference in the first round versus the second and the other, you do get them for 5 years instead of 4 years.
They're very important. Yep. So, very, very, very key there. And I think that's one of the reasons why you make that choice. Now, funny enough to that effect, that's one thing I was nervous about with the Packers taking Christian Watson in the second round is, I'm like, oh, they're not going to get that fifth year. But after what we've seen these first 2 years, and if I hope not, but if unfortunately the trend continues where his availability comes into question, you have to kind of wonder. I mean, there wasn't a lot of history at North Dakota to give them an indication that he was going to struggle to stay on the field. And this might not have had anything to do with it. But you have to wonder if teams aren't thinking that way too, where they're like, you know, let's, the, you know, the 4 years is fine. I mean, they get the choice to take that fifth year or not, you know, so obviously they're not on the hook for that fifth year. But if a player blows up, then, you know, obviously there's money to take into consideration there as well. And right now, so far, within the case of Watson, it's, you know, at least the Packers it's paid off, because who knows? I think these next 2 years obviously are critical for him to show what he can do. But I digress, because this was a defensive show.
Well, no, that's all right. But getting back, but we're talking about the trading up and stuff. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I think they tried. They all like they traded two twos to go up to the first pick in the second round and take Watson. If I'm not mistaken, they were trying that Thursday night. They were offering their two twos to teams picking 30, 31, 32, and nobody would bite.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. The teams there didn't want to give up that pick.
Right.
You know, which is, you know, take like anything, it takes, if a guy that you like is there, you're not going to trade out of there and go down in the second round. And, you know, so, but yeah, but nothing the Packers do next Thursday night. And we'll talk about this next Thursday, because we'll be doing the draft preview show. But there isn't anything that they can do. No, I can say it, but there's very rare, there are very few things that they will do that will, I'd say, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
Right.
If they move up, they could move up in the first round. They could move back and get move. I wouldn't be shocked if they went from like 25 down to like 28, 29.
Sure.
And pick up an extra third round pick. Now they got three thirds, and then trade two of those thirds to move up in the second. And when you have the ammunition they have, you can do a lot with it. And Goody likes to do that, and he's smart at it. He's made good trades up and down the draft. Look at last year, and he had some ammunition, but he moved that second round, that Jaden Reed pick. He moved down a little bit, got an extra pick. Moved down again a little bit, got an extra pick. Took Jaden Reed, who he wanted all along, and knew just how far down he could go and still get him. And those two extra picks became Wicks and Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a thing. So we got Reed, Wicks, and Brooks for one pick, basically.
Right.
That's a hell of a draft.
Yeah, that was a great draft last year. It's a tough one to follow up, but that also gives the Packers a little bit of a buffer, although I don't think they're going to be picking at the same positions if they don't hit on as many picks this year. It's just not possible every year to hit on a huge rate or have a huge hit rate like they have in the past couple of years, but maybe they will. That's just, you know, one of the reasons
why. Well, they have five good picks. I mean, they have five picks in the top 90.
Yes, they do. So just don't overthink it. And I don't think the Packers really overthink it. I think they just set their board and that's who they pick. Yep. And I guess in that sense, it could be either an overthink or an underthink if they don't hit on some of these players. But it seems like more often than not, I'm a Goot fan, and more often than not, I think he gets it right. I think he's done a better job than not. I know there's some people out there who don't agree with that. But, you know, a lot of that's based on just simply the fact that they picked Jordan Love instead of Brandon Ayuk. I mean, you know, let's be honest. Because they didn't move up to fifth, whatever it is that people wanted the Packers to do in order to get a wide receiver. I mean, they're mad that Justin Jefferson didn't trade up to get Justin Jefferson in that draft either. So
again, I say this all the time, and I've said it when I was in Philly for years. You can't trade with yourself.
Correct.
And you can't make a team trade with you.
Correct.
You know, I mean, and you can't offer. I mean, yeah, I guess you can make a team trade by offering them ridiculous amount of pick or something. But, you know, you don't want to be Mike Ditka giving up your whole draft to go get Ricky Williams, right?
Right.
I mean, how'd that work out?
No, 100%. Oh, geez. And wearing the dreadlock wig at the draft, too.
So, I mean, yeah, there's the Packers through the years have been pretty savvy in knowing how much and sometimes they overpay a little bit because they really want to get it done, but for the most part their trades are fair.
Right.
You know, they only gave up a fourth to move up and get Jordan Love. That's pretty good when you look around and see what the Niners gave up for Trey Lance and what the Bears gave up for Justin Fields and what, you know, other teams gave up to get quarterbacks who then those quarterbacks weren't even on the team anymore.
Right. Yeah,
they've done pretty well.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was a good healthy breakdown on the defense, and we'll see if that's the direction that the Packers go in the first round. They've taken defense way more than they have on offense in round one over the past 5-6, at least since Brian Gutekunst came on board.
Yeah, well, Love's the only first round pick Goody's made
on offense. So yeah, it's been largely defense, and you've got a new defensive coordinator and a new scheme. And once again, it just always seems like defenses are trying to keep up with the offense more than anything, and you need players to try to shut down what the league is pushing, which is offense and points. So you got to try to minimize that. If you want to win games, you got to keep other teams out of the end zone. And so sometimes you got to go big on defense in order to make that happen. So yeah, it's crazy. No, I mean, it's not crazy because I feel like it's taken forever and the draft should honestly be this week. There's just been so much that's been said and written, but at the same time, based on, you know, every year the holidays come around and it's like, oh, the draft is so far away. And here we are 7 days away, Mark. The next time we get together, we're going to be talking about all of the news and rumors. I mean, by then we'll probably have some fun stuff to talk about and we'll hear some scuttle as far as which teams are moving around or what trades have taken place and what's happening. Yeah. And there's going to be all sorts of different stuff happening.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be some trades made before then and we'll know what teams have moved up or down or whatever. Maybe the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you may have mentioned it already too, but before we sign off here, because we're in the final stretch here, what is up at Packer Report and what's coming up this week with only 1 week left before the draft?
All right, well, what's up now, Thursday is the last piece of the series that we just talked about, and I believe it's linebackers today. So but you can go back and look at all of them, all the stuff we just talked about. That's all up there now. I believe it's 12 stories. Break each position, offense and defense. And then coming up next week will be more. I'll do a story early in the week on my thoughts on what the Packers might do. And then the day of the draft will be my one and only mock draft.
That's
going to be 100. Just do one.
There, yeah, just one. Keep it qualitative, and that's it. You're one and only. right before with all of the clear and clean information that's available at that point, because you know these mocks that come out right after the season ends and stuff like that, it's like it's fun to read, but they change so much, it's insane. I mean, even Mel Kiper puts stuff out and it's like, man, that's going to change a lot between now and the draft.
Well, some do it before the season's even over. They don't even know who's picking where. they do it, you know. Yeah. That cracks me up. But
yeah,
anyway, that's what we have going.
Lot to be decided. Well, there'll be after the draft. I'll do a quick slant on that Monday following, so we can recap the players that the Packers added undrafted free agents and draft as well. One more week on hiatus with quick slants over Game On Wisconsin this upcoming week. But we'll be back at it again next Thursday. Thanks everybody for riding along. Hope it was an informative chat about the defense. Everybody's gearing up and getting ready for another great weekend and getting ready for the NFL draft. Take care of yourself wherever you're at. Stay warm, stay cool, regardless, depending on where you live. And as always, go Pack, go.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.